Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Today's broadcast is all about Radiation Nation. It's a new book. Well, it's a book that's been out for a little while. Daniel T. DeBon is the author, along with Ryan DeBon, who I presume is your son, Ryan?
Yes, he is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they collaborated on a book that is, quote, Your Complete Guide to EMF Protection, subtitled The Proven Health Risks of EMF Radiation Emissions and What You Can Do to Protect Yourself and Family. And so you were about to tell us an anecdote about the telecommunications industry.
There is a consortium represented at the national level that represents the service providers, and it's been around for 30 years, 40 years. The head of that was an individual that hired a physician to evaluate any linkage between cancer and cell phone. The physician came back, world-renowned physician, I don't want to use names, but he concluded that there was a linkage. And then the head of that ended up destroying the man's career.
Whoa.
Literally, because it was a negative message being sent. That man was Wheeler. Wheeler was the head of the FCC for the last 5-10 years.
Oh boy!
He was so. Yeah. So there is.
So this is like a government industrial complex that is
keeping
this information suppressed.
And what I found was in the science community, there's a lot. In fact, you know, it's funny. I go back to my Bell Labs days, and I used to look at the significance of data. And as you may know, to be plus or minus 5%. Percent accurate in what you do, and you feel accurate that it's true. There's certain populations that you got to look for to draw conclusions on. And what I found was a lot of stuff existed. In fact, the way I saw it was I've found a preponderance of evidence. It's not all in the same place. So my goal was simply make it available so you can see for yourself if you think it's legitimate or not. I'm not trying to influence you one way or the other, but what I know for sure is there's clear and evident data that identifies potential harms for the body.
Indeed. So let's get to solutions. You know, how can we mitigate the problem? And full disclosure here, you also are the developer of a product or a product line that attempts to tamp down some of the dangers.
Yeah, it's funny, going back to the story of how I got involved, there were products that talked about the extremely low frequency shielding, but not the RF shielding. And oftentimes I'd find that those who were producing these didn't even know that one or the other existed, or even both for that matter. So I actually have developed product lines that shields the body. It's simple. It's not complicated. Mm-hmm. We simply stop the signal from entering the body. And now here's the other things. You don't need to buy any of my products if you're smart. The reality of it is you've heard me talk about time and distance, right? So if you have a signal against your head, a cell phone against your head, that is the most dangerous. It's a 1.6 watts per kilogram signal entering into the brain. And so that's when it's at most a danger. If you take it 1 foot away, 80% of the danger is gone by 4 foot 98. That is the strength, the amplitude of the signal is not going to be damaging to the cells of the body when you start moving it in the distance. So when you're sitting by a Wi-Fi, make sure it's at least 4 foot away. I typically recommend 10.
Mm-hmm.
But distance is your friend. Just stay away. And the other, so we can shield. You can distance yourself from the signal, or you can reduce the durations of time you're using these things. You know, we were talking about if in the medical community they're using electromagnetic radiation so long as it's not on for several hours a day, which they're typically only minutes, by the way, you're pretty safe. So durations are the other thing you need to be concerned about.
Right. So
it's a simple metric.
A concern that I have, and I've been sort of a Luddite about this, not an early adopter, is Bluetooth headsets. Where it's tempting to ditch the wire, lose the wire, and buy one of these Bluetooth headsets. And I see people jogging with them. Sometimes it's a hassle having a wire leading from your iPod to your headset when you're jogging or when you're exercising. So you're tempted to get Bluetooth. There's a great new Bluetooth Apple earlets that are, supposedly the sound is killer. Is it really important to avoid using those devices, or can they be used for short durations with safety?
Dr. Arnold, here's some metric that you may want to use to make those choices yourself.
Yeah.
When you use a cell phone and it connects to a cell tower, that strength of the signal can get you almost 5 miles. Mm. When you use a Wi-Fi with your cell phone, it can go about 500 feet, 300 to 500 feet, depending on. And if you use a Bluetooth, it can go on about 30 to 50 feet, depending. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the energy levels of all of those three differ.
Yeah.
However, they're all an RF signal between the 1 and 2 gigahertz space.
Mm-hmm.
So when I talked about duration, if you're looking to put your Bluetooth headset on and you're going to use it hours at a time, I certainly wouldn't recommend it. And it's because it's convenient, but it's also penetrating the brain.
Yeah.
The younger you are, the more likely it's true.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have cancer. That doesn't mean you're going to get a tumor. That doesn't mean you're even going to have a headache.
Yeah.
But there is no doubt there's penetration of that signal into the skull. The younger you are, the worse it is.
And if you use just a wired, so for example, as we do this, record this podcast, I'm sitting here with a headset, but it's a wired headset, and there's little amplifiers in there, and they're right next to my ears. And I've been broadcasting for 30 or 35 years, and I do, probably on an average, 4, 5, 6 hours of broadcasting per week. Does that pose a hazard?
It does. The magnitude of the hazard is low.
Okay. Because I'm using a wired, headphones.
Right. The worst thing you can have is put it against your head. The much better solution is to use a pair of wired headsets like you're using.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Even better than that is don't have those wires exposed to your brain at all.
Mm-hmm.
And there are acoustical coupling kinds of earbuds that prevent the wire, electrical, it's screaming low frequency stuff coming out of the wiring.
Hmm.
But if you're doing it for long durations, I would recommend not doing that and seeing to find, air tube kind of arrangements to reduce those exposures. They can impact, as I said before, as much as any other RF signal.
Right. So I'm actually at your website now. I went to defendershield.com, and you have a product here. Is this what you're talking about? It's EMF radiation-free air tube stereo headphones earbuds.
Right. And that's why I developed them.
Okay. So I'll take a pair of those. Here's my credit card number. There's only a few thousand people listening, and probably all of them are honest, so they're not going to. No, we'll talk after the show. Okay, so let's talk about some of the products that are available at DefenderShield.com. Because for the lady who has, who loves to sit for hours on end doing her correspondence, surfing the internet with her laptop on her lap, I mean, that's why they call them laptops. What do you have?
We have a Defender pad. It's literally a surface, 10 by 15 surface, where you can put your computer on top, and it can still connect to the Wi-Fi, but all the downwind emissions that are dangerous to the groin area are shielded, so there's no emissions touching the inner part. And by the way, it's not just the male that you worry about. It's the female. There was a study done. Metadata study where they looked at out of Italy. They looked at like 20,000 women exposed to emissions, and what we found was there was a 2% incident of tumor, of which a small percentage of that went cancerous in the womb.
Wow!
So it's serious stuff.
Yeah.
If we knew, we know 15 years, 20 years, that a low level, what I haven't said is how do you measure these kinds of things? Well, the extremely low frequency stuff you measure in Gauss. Mm-hmm. 10 Gauss is really low. 100 Gauss is a lot. A pregnant woman exposed to an RF signal over, ELF signal, over extended period of times, can actually have a miscarriage three times more than a normal woman if she's pregnant. Mm. So we know it impacts. But let's go back to how do you deal with these things in your environment?
Okay.
I like to talk about it as bees in the room. Think of it as one bee won't kill you.
Yeah.
So if you have a cell phone and it's more than 4 foot away, I wouldn't panic. Mm-hmm. I would put it on the table and not worry about it.
Yeah, dock it away from you or outside the room, you know, to charge overnight.
Right.
And, yeah. But, you know, unfortunately, there are people who literally sleep with their cell phone right beside them because they're afraid that they'll miss a text or a phone call. And
they're nuts, but that's
unfortunately the world we live in is everybody's connected, and especially kids and teenagers are doing this, and at the very least they're becoming sleep deprived because of that. But think of the consequences of the EMFs coming off that. It kills your melatonin production and your pineal. Yeah,
right. Yeah, and that's exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so if you have 1,000 bees in the room, 1,000 bees can kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it in that way. So think about every transmitting source in your house, in your room, and try to reduce them. Mm-hmm. Try to turn them off when you don't need them. At night, turn off your Wi-Fi, for example.
Yeah.
You don't need it on. You're not using it.
Yeah.
It's propagating through the house. Mm-hmm. If it's against the wall of your bedroom wall on the other side, that's a couple of feet away. What are you, crazy?
Yeah.
You want to make sure that you regiment your life and minimize the bees in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're using it during the day, as you were asking me before about how do you do the laptop? That we have the Defender Pay that does that, and then the head we have a Defender Shield product line, which is literally shielding the in between the cell phone itself and the body.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have it in your pocket, guess what? I'm going to depart for a story. I don't know if you looked at the USA Today. They had a couple of they had an article about the reason why the male sperm count is being reduced is because they're using laptops in their lap.
Yeah,
you missed the boat. Missed the boat completely.
Exactly.
It's the RF signal.
Right. It's but also, where do you stick your cell phone? You know, in your front pant pocket.
Yeah. Think of that.
Yeah, because if you stick it in, if you stick it in your rear pocket, somebody's going to pick your pocket, so you're going to put it in the front pocket.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's literally true. You have microwaves. Oh, by the way, I didn't say this, I don't think, clearly. Mm-hmm. An RF signal is a microwave signal. It's one and the same. There's no difference whatsoever. It's just a different nomenclature.
Okay.
So they're the same thing. So think about putting a microwave oven in your pocket. That's what they're doing.
Also, I mean, strategically, it's one of the reasons why do males have external genitals instead of internal genitals like women? And the reason is because one very efficient means of birth control, and the Japanese practice it, is to sit in a very hot bath before intercourse, because your testicles need to be a little cooler than body temperature for optimal sperm activity. And
yeah,
so,
right, exactly.
Yeah,
I'll tell you an opposing story. I had a business associate that was in the he was in the Army in Vietnam, and what they used to do is take their Wi-Fi transmitters and they would saturate their groin so they wouldn't have any active sperm.
Okay, that's a form of birth control.
So it does affect your body.
Yeah. On that note, let's pause for a moment for a commercial because one of our sponsors wants to share a message with our listeners. So here goes.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Okay, folks, thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make these podcasts possible. So back to our guest. He's Daniel DeBon. His book is Radiation Nation. And it's a great compendium of information about the hazards of EMFs and what you can do to mitigate them. Again, at DefenderShield.com, I see a variety of products. Some are for shielding laptops. Some are for shielding tablets and iPads. Some of them are for shielding phones. If you have a kid who has a phone, that's probably not the greatest idea anyway. But if you have a kid who has a phone, good idea to get him a shield.
There's no doubt. And as I said before, the standard allows a child to have an exposure where the signal goes completely through their head. And think about this. That's a lifetime of exposure. What's the biological impact of that? Mm-hmm. No one knows.
Yeah. Because you know, we'll know in like 40 or 50 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, it's funny. There are some science experts that talk about impacts to the egg of a teenage girl. And there is evidence that what we know is there's can be DNA damage. We haven't talked about the details of that stuff.
We know that all your eggs are present at in childhood and in puberty.
Right.
They just need to develop, and the egg that may make a baby when you're 32 was present when you were 14. So,
and you take your cell phone and you put it in your pocket every day as a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. So you're exposing that egg that is your lifetime nest of eggs.
Yeah.
And so there are some experts that believe the catastrophic events are in the future, in some tending generations, that there's DNA damage that occurs to the egg. And then you have subtending generations that are now carrying the mutated cell. And so there are some. I don't necessarily believe that because I'm not sure there's any evidence for that. But some postulate that that's true.
Well, I must admit I was relieved to see when I went to DefenderShield.com that I didn't see one of those little metallic pendants that you throw around your neck that has some kind of insignia or emblem on it. That's supposed to somehow mysteriously shield you from all misfortune. I've seen those on sale. What do you think of some of the devices that are out there that purport to shield people from radiation? Do you think that they're as scientifically based as your devices?
No, not at all. In fact, that's the reason why I got into this business, because I had a science background. I ran laboratories based on science and evidence of science.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came into this industry and I started seeing these claims about harnessing RF signals with a rock, with a processor, and absolutely no unbiased independent evaluation from the scientific community about the accuracy of the claims. Very few do. I recommend truly, please look for evidence that is independent and clear. And don't look for indirect evidence. As you may know, Dr., that when you have a RF signal touching your body tight, it changes the red blood cell count.
Mm-hmm.
And so, these people claim that when you have our device, you won't see red blood cell count, change, from a normal, to an abnormal case. That's indirect study. It's not mm-hmm. an impact to a cell.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these say they're, medically proven to work. They're not proven to shield you. They're not proven to protect you. There may be some indirect laboratory work that said, we didn't see any blood cell change. And that's not evidence that your cell is being protected and not being influenced to the point where there's oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is what happens. And by the way, oxidative stress, and I talked to biochemists often about this subject matter, and the oxidative stress is a cell to cell, and anytime it's impacted by its environment, it goes into a state of trying to protect itself under a weakened state. What happens when it goes weakened? The proteins that pass between one cell to the other to keep them happy can't pass through, and what happens to that? People now say, every time I get close to a cell phone, my head hurts. Every time I get close to a phone, my ears hurt. What are they actually saying? What they're saying is they're electromagnetically hypersensitive, and the cells have weakened to the extent where it's more long-term now. And so there is really a evidence that electromagnetic hypersensitivity is actually increasing. And it's because of the direct correlation, in my opinion, to the toxin that's the RF that we're exposed to.
And finally, what about people who live close to cell phone towers? Because that's one of those sort of NIMBY issues, you know, not in my backyard. You know, I love getting a great cell phone service in my neighborhood, but I won't accede to having an ugly cell phone tower that spoils my view. But is it of concern if they erect a cell phone tower on your roof, for example, because your landlord wants to make a little extra dough?
There's no doubt whatsoever that in the world of war, RF signals are used as a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And what they know is if they have the amplitude of the signal strong enough, durations long enough, these are the kind of impacts to the body that will be created.
And incidentally, there was just an episode of this because the diplomatic corps from Havana had to be evacuated back to the mainland. And I'm not sure if this is EMFs, but they directed some very high-frequency sound waves at the embassies, the consulates down there. And it caused hearing damage serious enough to have to require that these diplomats be evacuated.
Yeah, this has been going on for the last 20 years.
Russians did it to our diplomats in Moscow.
Right. Yeah. They know they can cause leukemia with the right amplitude and right duration.
Wow.
It's a pretty well understood science in the warring space.
Wow.
My point is long durations are dangerous. So when you're close and the distances are close, that's not a good thing. And some argue, by the way, it's going to get worse before it gets better. We haven't spoke about 5G. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of the technology space is always trying to improve bandwidth.
3G,
so
4G,
they can have
5G,
more data.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, exactly. 4G is a signal that is a digital signal. And here's a little bit of detail. A digital signal is a pulsing on and off signal. So it's more damaging to the cell than a analog signal. Why? If I take a iron bar and I put it, a 10,000 pound load on it, on a piece of concrete, and I keep it a constant load, that concrete won't break.
Mm-hmm.
If I lift it up and if I push it down, it becomes a jackhammer, and it breaks right away.
Yeah.
So there's a different physics associated with current transmissions that are hitting our body. From 4G to 5G, it now becomes a case where they call it MIMO, multiple in, multiple out. It's not just a pulsing digital signal. It's multiple pulsing digital signals. And the frequencies are 10 times to 20 times higher than the current frequencies.
Wow.
And the FCC just allowed that to be done. And in fact, you know, we talked about local municipalities. There's actions by the federal government actually to not require approvals of those transmitters in those communities. A cell tower can be 5 miles away and work. These can only be, they have to be less than a mile away. Hmm. So a half a mile typical. Wow. So you're going to have more bees in your environment that potentially are more harmful.
Wow. All right. Much more detail on this subject in the book Radiation Nation. I recommend it very highly. And it's available from the usual sources. And you can also get it from the website. What is that again, please?
That's DefenderPad.com. DefenderShield.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, DefenderShield.com. Or you can get the book at RadiationNationBook.com.
And I presume all the other usual sources.
You can get it from, we were number one in Amazon for a while. It's pretty, there's been a lot of interest, which I'm very excited about, because our whole goal was to try to help people understand the environment they're living in. And I didn't write it for you, by the way. I wrote it for your mother, your daughter.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? It was really important that we...
Yeah,
you want to try to get it so it's understandable and not over the heads of those who are reading it, so they can decide what they want to do in their environment and deal with that in their lives the way they choose to do it.
Well, it's excellent. Practical suggestions, good science, and I have to say, this is a concern that's so often ignored. You know, we care about the quality of our food, our water, our air, and yet this is an invisible source of pollution that's very real, and that I think we have to come to grips with in some way before major health problems emerge. And it's going to be subtle. It's because, like, what's causing these epidemics of serious life-threatening diseases, but also, you know, sort of annoying health problems, not health problems that kill people, but fatigue, headaches, malaise, mood problems. Are they all related to EMFs? Well, who knows, because it's such a composite. Our environment is so complicated. But I thank you for shedding light on the subject. Good stuff. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.